really does give me great pleasure again to welcome back to New York the gentleman whom I'm about to introduce. This gentleman has been the longest serving president of our organization and continues to be an influence in this organization. He's a mentor, he's a friend, he's a scholar, he's a forward thinker. He is any other superlative you want to mention there. He is all those things rolled into one. The only person who might know better is Pat Maurer. But I think she would agree with everything I've just said. I want to give you for whatever he cares to say and for however long he cares to say it, short of 45 minutes. we've had some cancellations today, so we built a little time in for, we have a little wiggle room. One was due to an illness, and one was due to a fact that the lady quit the company. So, can't do anything about either of those, but those were our realities. Last minute cancellations. We'll make use of the time, count on it. But I'd like to give you, for whatever he cares to say, Dr. Mark Maurer.
Well, it's nice to be back, and I appreciate all the kind words there, Carl. I will start. Carl, you're not paying attention.
I'm sorry, sir.
I notice you're not paying attention, Carl. I see. You know. Well, anyhow. You know, I'm going to try to forgive you.
I've done enough to be forgiven of, sir.
I see. Well, so Carl, you're not going to be president starting on Sunday after the meeting. You've decided this, and I think that's a good decision myself. I didn't mean it to sound that way, Carl.
You made the same decision a few years ago.
I did make the same decision. I'm not president anymore, and it wasn't that anybody was running me off at the time. So now, Carl, here I have a thing that you might need, and I'm going to give this to you. We have had a logo in the National Federation of the Blind, a lot of different logos over the years, and we have our current logo, which is intended to show both togetherness and independence at the same time. Now, it's a takeoff on the idea that we're doing walking alone and marching together. That's our book, you know, the great big book. Which said that we can stand on our own legs, but we need to work together in order to make more space for those legs to work. So we have this new logo, and it has all kinds of people together in a big group, but each one of them individually is independent. And so I have here a shirt for you. This is a nice new shirt, and it's black, and it has our logo in all the brilliant colors that our logo has, green, blue and all that, orange. And I thought maybe you'd like to have that just to wear the new logo to show off how we can work together and be independent as individuals.
I'm going to wear it with a tie to next year's
Thank you, sir. He says he's going to wear it with a necktie. Now, this is a polo type, you know. It's a golf shirt type. And it slides over the head and buttons up there and so forth. You can play golf in that if you want.
I could. Yeah. Why would I want to walk all over and play golf with a pinball machine?
Oh, He says he's not much into golf anyway. I got a few things here that I think we need to cover, and then I have 100 that we could cover. The ones that we should cover, we have this hearing coming up in the court. Are we going to cover that anywhere else?
We might, but cover it now.
Anyway, we had the Board of Elections. We've sued the Board of Elections in New York because we can't get the right to vote. And the website doesn't work is the problem. And we've also the Department of Motor Vehicles. Now, we're going to have a hearing in this case, and we want people to come to the hearing because the judge needs to know that this is an important case. So we have to have a bunch of folks in the courtroom, and bring your canes and your dogs. And, you know, you can hold up your cane. Don't put your cane on the floor. Hold it up so the judge knows. The president over here says, hold up your dog. They're actually pretty noticeable. You don't have to hold it up much. It's in the Daniel Patrick Moynihan United States Courthouse at 500 Pearl Street. And it happens on the 19th of December, and it's in the afternoon at 2. And we need enough people in the courtroom that there won't be space for everybody, so that we'll have to sit in the jury box and stuff like that. If you could come, it's in courtroom 23B, and the judge is Forrest. It's Forrest Courtroom, and the idea is to help the judiciary know that there are blind people in the world, because a lot of judges haven't ever heard of blind people. I don't know how they missed it, but they haven't. So that's a thing that we need to cover. Now, also, I have a big list here of people who participated in the PAC plan, and I always invite people and encourage people to participate in the PAC plan. I always go through this process of wondering if anybody knows where New York is. Nobody knows.
12 or 13.
The president says 12 or 13, and he's right. It's number 13. New York is bringing in $1,002 a month. Now, you got to keep in mind that Texas, this list was run, was bringing in $1,001.50. So they're right on your heels. And, you know, Texas has had its troubles, but Texas is pretty spirited. So you got to keep in mind that Texas might like to beat New York. And the state convention has come and gone, so I haven't checked. Now, South Carolina is at 1104. Surely New York would love to beat South Carolina, the Palmetto State. And New Mexico, the land of enchantment, at 1137. And if you'd like to be in the top 10, you got to knock off, that is to say beat, Idaho at $1,150. So that's the challenge. Now, I always do that part, but here's the other part. We have a new accounting system. Some of you may know this already. Those of you on the PAC plan, somehow, when we adopted the new accounting system, knew that there was a PAC donation to be made, and it caused your PAC donation to be made on the date that it was supposed to be made, or very close to it. And the old accounting system knew that there was a PAC plan program, and it decided to make sure that you made your donation too. So you made two donations. Now we've worked on correcting this, and we believe and we hope that we have corrected it. But if you got trouble with the PAC plan, be sure to call us and let us know, because we want to fix it, and we want to take all the donations that you want us to have and none of them that you don't want us to have. I've heard three people now, that their second donation was refunded, and this is the objective, and we think we have it in shape, but I want to make sure we do have it in shape. So I wanted to bring that to your attention. Now, there are some other things that it's important that we cover at this convention. We have in the Congress the Access Technology Affordability Act. Some of you have heard of this. The Access Technology Affordability Act is S-732 in the Senate and H.R. 1734 in the House. And this act says that you can have a tax credit if you're buying technology to do your work or to do your business as a blind person, and that tax credit is being considered in the Congress. Now, there's a tax bill in Congress, which means that taxes are on the minds of members of Congress, and the tax bill was voted out of the House of Representatives the other day, and the tax bill does two things. One, it does not have the Access Technology Act in it, and number two, it does take away the additional deduction for the blind. The Senate is considering another tax bill, and Senator Bozeman is contemplating adding the Access Technology Affordability Act to the tax bill. So we need to get that done, and the tax bill in the Senate does not remove the extra deduction for the blind, so you ought to encourage your members of the Senate to accept the Access Technology Affordability Act and to maintain the tax credit in this act and the extra tax deduction for blindness in the tax code. That's coming up right away. So that ought to be done. We have the Accessible Instructional Materials for Higher Education Act, sometimes known as AIM High. This is H.R. 1772. It has been introduced in the House. It does not include what is known as the safe harbor, and that's just as well. We've considered how we get accessible technology in colleges and universities. We've sued a half a dozen colleges and universities, and we win, but it takes a long time, and it takes lots and lots of money, very often millions of dollars, for us to win these lawsuits. And we get them won, but by the time we get them won, the students who are involved have either graduated or passed on to other activities, and some of them you think to yourself, if it takes that long to do a lawsuit, maybe they have gone on to a different life. Anyway, that has come out in the House, and we need accessible instructional materials, both in the colleges and universities, and while we're on the subject, we need it in grade school and high school. We'll get to that by and by. We're trying to do the colleges and universities. On Thursday, we had the AIM High bill put into the Senate. It was dropped as S-2138, so if you could get your members of Congress to support those bills, that would be good. We also have the transition to meaningful employment bill. This is the TIME Act, and this takes away the subminimum wage. That's H.R. 1347 in the House, and if you could get support for all of those, that would be good. Oh, well. You know what happens when you get too close to Carl. Sorry, Carl. I keep wondering if there are a few buses around here to throw you under, you know. Anyway, be that as it may. So, Carl, you're not running for president. Yeah, Lyndon Johnson didn't run for president, but he had a different reason for not running. You remember Lyndon Johnson, huh?
I do.
Back into the mists of history. You remember John Kennedy. What about Eisenhower? Remember him? And Truman? Remember him? You'd sort of remember Truman. How you doing on Roosevelt?
Springboard.
You're an older guy than I am, I can tell.
You were born in the Truman administration,
sir. I was born in back in 1951, no less. So you're not running for president, and that leaves the question of how we're going to manage the affiliate. And that's a great question. And the reality is that one of the jobs of a president who's any good is to make sure that there's somebody else who can be president after a while. Because this is inevitable and necessary. And I think about this affiliate, and I wonder about its future. And I notice that I haven't talked to Mike too much. I gather he's running, and you're supporting him, and that's a good thing. But I have talked to Angie, and she says she's nervous. And if I have to guess, I'd say if Angie's nervous, Mike's nervous, too. So as you think about the affiliate, there are certain things that are true of the Federation, the affiliate, the national organization, and the chapters. And one of them is that the members own it. It belongs to us. It does not belong to the officers. It belongs to the members. Now the members are our, I mean the officers are members too, so it belongs to the officers because they're members, but not because they're officers. And the officers are responsible to the membership. The membership has a right to have the officers that the membership wants. And the members have a right to have knowledge of what the officers do, because the officers conduct business as a matter of trust. The members give the officers this trust, and then they expect the officers to perform according to that trust. Now, I have a lot of experience with that. I know about that trust. And I know about faith in the members. And I've thought about the way that the organization works and how we interact. And I know that when there are troubles, the thing we need is to have faith in each other. We need to believe enough in each other that we share information, concerns, and knowledge about what we're doing. The members have a right to know about where and how we get the money that we spend. The members also have an obligation to help get it. The officers, too, have that responsibility. My predecessor in office was a man named Dr. Kenneth Jernigan, and Dr. Jernigan said to me when I came to be the president, and I'm telling you this, Mike, in case you want to know, you can spend all the money you can raise. There's no alternative to that. If you don't raise it, you don't have it to spend. But of course, the money doesn't belong to the officers. It belongs to the organization. And the people who own the organization are the members. So the members have a right to know about it. The program is like that. the program belongs to members. So what the officers do is a thing that the members have a right to know. And if there's a problem with any of that, then democracy is the solution to it. So, for example, we have a number of the members of the board of directors who are being paid by the organization. And members have a right to know about that. Now, a human being cannot reasonably supervise itself. Somehow, the personal interest there that makes it impossible. So if we're going to have our officers and our board members be paid, then we have to have a system whereby there's a check and balance, because customarily the board determines policy between conventions. Now, the convention sets policy, but it's required that there be a system of checks and balances to ensure that the officers who receive compensation do so by a system of services that the organization wants, and that there is not a conflict. All of that is true. And there's also a tendency, one that I'm aware of, that a person thinks that the way things are, especially if that person has helped to establish them, is pretty good. And maybe we don't need to change it much. Now, the reality is that more participation is desirable, because if we limit participation, then we know what we're going to get, and what it's going to be is what we've already got. So we need more people to be involved to do more things than we've had in the past. And in order to do that, we have to be able to release ideas that we've sometimes thought were pretty good, but that might be challenged if somebody wants to think about how it is that it could be in the future with a little more energy and possibly a little more imagination. Now, I've had experience with this. I know that the next president doesn't do it the way the last president did. How do I know? Well, it's happened twice in my life. Once I took over the presidency, and somehow I wasn't doing it the same way that Dr. Jernigan was doing it, and lots of people thought the way that it was pretty good. Why are we changing it? And then I got to be a past president, and somehow the current president isn't doing it the same way that I was doing it. And you think, why are we changing it? Why? It was pretty good the way it was. And the reality is, I have some great friends in this organization. You know, Carl over here, he's a pretty good friend of mine. Wouldn't you say that, Carl? Yeah, he admits it right out loud. But his thought about the way the organization should run and mine have been tried.
I would agree with both of those, sir.
If we're going to get something else, if we're going to get something new, we have to try something else. And that means we have to be prepared to accept new people and new ideas. Now, Carl enjoyed doing what he was doing. I don't doubt it. I enjoyed doing what I had done. And the reality is, Carl is now wondering what excitement there's going to be in the near future, because he doesn't know. I wondered about that. But if we're going to have an organization that lives and thrives, we cannot make it a reflection of yesterday. I noticed that we got a constitutional amendment in this state which said that the past president would serve on the board. That may be a good idea, but I'm not entirely sure it is. I have elected not to serve on the board, although I certainly had the votes to be on it. And I did because I want the organization to thrive. And my contributions will be available whether I'm on the board or not. So I decided to pass, not because I don't love the outfit, and not because I don't have great friends in it, but because the people I know, the people I trust, the people I work with on an ordinary daily basis, most of the time come from my generation. And if we're going to thrive as an outfit, we need another generation. Now, I come and I say these things. Carl has indicated that he's not running, and he does want somebody else to run, and I think that choice is right, and I've now told you why I think so. I could talk about a dozen other things instead, about what we're doing nationally here and there, and about what kinds of programs we have, and we have more programs than most organizations could possibly imagine. And I like it that way. And I helped to build a lot of them, so I'm proud of the ones I built, and I'm proud of the ones other people have built. But I want the thing to thrive, even if I can't be at the middle of it, and even if I cannot put excitement into the minds of the 20-year-olds that are around. You guys have something that I took for granted for a long time, which is that there's a good deal of youth about you. I have less of it than you do. But the organization was vibrant when I came into it. I intend it to be vibrant when I leave. It taught me much, and it made a huge difference in my life, and I want others to know that difference. So, Carl, I'm very pleased that you've been our president here. And with whatever bittersweet sadness there might be, I am just as glad you are not going to be after a while, because that shows that there's a commitment to growth and a commitment to tomorrow. Yeah. For right now, I think that's going to be the report for the day.